We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I am very pleased. The last several months I've been saying, hey, why don't Democrats want to come on the air here and talk about some of the issues that they are promoting? In nationally, statewide, in the General Assembly, especially during the special session. And I sincerely do appreciate that we have a taker who is willing to come on and chat with us about that. State Senator Scott Surivel, who is the Democrat who represents Fairfax and has a long history with a lot of Democrat legislators. And I respect the fact that he has devoted much of his professional career to service in the state. And Senator, thank you for joining us this morning. I appreciate you coming on.
And no problem. Thanks for having me, and thanks for talking about state policy issues.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to start with qualified immunity. You may have been told when we talked to you yesterday that a lot of our callers and a lot of the folks who listen to the show are very upset about the push in the General Assembly to either change the definition of qualified immunity or to repeal it and leave, in the minds of a lot of our listeners, leave police without any protection from frivolous lawsuits that could bankrupt them. And I have not had anybody on to, you know, offer an objective analysis from the other side. So that falls to you this morning, if you can give us your mindset on it.
Great. Well, I'm not a civil rights lawyer, but I've obviously been studying the issue, so you know, I'll do my best.
Okay.
First of all, we're actually not doing anything to repeal qualified immunity technically, right? Mm-hmm. Qualified immunity is something that the federal courts created in 1981, in a case back in 1981, and it applies to federal lawsuits under Section 1983. And technically what the talk is at the state level is doing is creating a new lawsuit in state court to which somebody could not assert the federal defense of qualified immunity. So that's technically what we're doing.
Okay.
They call it a qualified immunity repeal because that would be the practical effect, although that's technically not what you're doing. But
all right.
It's more of a colloquial way of describing it.
Okay.
But basically the idea that's being pushed is to create a new lawsuit that you could bring in state court or federal court, actually, that would be based on a police officer violating a constitutional right or a right under either state or federal law. So that's basically the idea.
All right. In the legislation that's been drafted or in the conversations as you all are preparing this, have you discussed parameters? I mean, I think all of us could say, all right, if you yank somebody out of their car for a broken taillight and you use a billy club to beat the heck out of them, or, you know, there's some partiers down in Chaco Bottom and you drag them behind the building and rough them up and, you know, hit them with a taser or something for being drunk in public, that's probably something that you should suffer personal consequences for and not have the shield of your profession shielding you from being sued. But if you're engaged in your regular activity as a police officer and the person you're attempting to arrest fights you and you have to aggressively subdue them, then you probably shouldn't be subject to some sort of lawsuit, which might be dismissed, maybe not. I mean, how are you all trying to carve out parameters here so that it doesn't harm police officers who were doing their job responsibly.
Yeah, so the first example you gave is an excellent one. It's sort of showing the distinction. So, first of all, I think everybody's concerned about police brutality or abuse of force situations, like the George Floyd type situation, you know, what happened with Breonna Taylor, that kind of thing. And that's the real trick, is how do you focus this in on situations where you're talking about abuse of force, and how do you not create a situation where every time somebody's pulled over for, you know, not using their turn signal, they've got a lawsuit, right?
Right.
And so the way qualified immunity works is generally speaking, if a constitutional right is well established or some rule is well established, that is, the cases are crystal clear that there's a line there you can't cross, then qualified immunity does not apply. But if there hasn't been some lawsuit or some case that's been published, or if there's not a statute that makes the rule clear, then officers have this qualified immunity to you know, do their job without fear that they'll be sued for violating a constitutional right or a rule that a court has not yet established. That's how the rule works. So, I mean, what we've talked about, at least in the Senate, is trying to figure out a way to focus this new right of action solely upon use of force incidents and not have it apply to anything and everything the police do. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's actually interesting. If you look at the broader push nationally, there's actually agreement on the left and the right about this. Two of the groups that are actually pushing for qualified immunity repeal are the Second Amendment Foundation and the Alliance for Freedom, which is a Christian sort of Christian rights group that's pushing, you know, heavy First Amendment litigation. And the reason that there are people on the right who would like to see qualified immunity repealed is because they would like to see that civil action used to advance Second Amendment rights and to advance First Amendment rights against the government. Mm-hmm. Because at the federal level, the action applies not only to police officers, but any government official whatsoever. Mm-hmm. There's no talk about that in terms of the state lawsuit. We're only talking about creating a legal action against law enforcement and not any member of the state government.
Were there two things that strike me? One of them is, or let's say we go with the change that you're discussing, but then the legislature or, you know, even the city of Richmond, we'll talk about the city of Richmond establishing rules for the way their police officers interact with citizens within their boundaries. You could ban chokeholds, you could ban certain types of interaction with citizens who were potentially under arrest or being stopped by cops, and almost make it impossible for them to do their job without triggering the possibility of a personal lawsuit. And no disrespect to you, but it sounds to me like that's kind of the push that's happening in the General Assembly, is, all right, we repeal qualified immunity. Maybe that could work if we still had pretty broad latitude for police officers to detain someone physically if they refuse to submit to being arrested. But at the same time that you're repealing qualified immunity, you're restricting the police officers in the way they would go after restraining a suspect or arresting a suspect. So you're almost creating an inevitable problem, a potential legal problem for the police officers. Is that unfair for me to say?
Yeah, I think that takes a little bit too far. So first of all, let me make clear that I don't think we're doing anything about qualified immunity in the special session, because we've just found it's like incredibly complex to try and figure out how to do it without creating unintended consequences. I mean, there were three different senators who had bills drafted, and only one of us felt comfortable enough putting it in. Mm-hmm. And we considered the House bill, and we just said, this isn't something we can do right now. We don't have time. But the way, if you look at the broader police reform bill that we passed out of the Senate, Senate Bill 5030, that's our broad sort of police reform omnibus bill. One of the sections of that bill, we created a whole new section of the code, or article in the code, that has to do with police use of force. And it sets some clear lines about a couple things, like it prohibits the use of chokeholds unless you're using it if your life is at risk. Mm-hmm. It has provisions about de-escalation, requiring you to try and de-escalate before you escalate if you're an officer. It has, you know, it has language in it about when you can use force and factors and variables to which you're to be judged against if you use it, including, you know, whether somebody's complying or whether they're armed or things like that. Mm-hmm. And those standards could actually serve as a way to keep qualified immunity out of a case if that law is enacted. And so we sort of saw that as one step moving in that direction. We only set lines on a couple things, like no-knock warrants, chokeholds, you know, deadly force as a last resort. And then everything else, we have a gray area, but we put in standards by which that we work with the chiefs of police, we work with the state police, we work with the sheriffs, standards by which an officer's conduct would be judged in those situations. And we thought that was a more prudent way to approach it. And then I think we might want to go back in the future and look at those standards as a way to try and judge civil liability instead of trying to create some whole new thing out of whole cloth.
Okay. Well, very interesting. I mean, you know what? I should probably invite you back and let's do a longer conversation where we won't be interrupted by all these commercials, because I am curious to explore the mindset of the legislators who are pushing this and the nuance behind the law. You know, the devil's in the details, and you're very articulate in explaining it without the bombast we've heard from some other people. So I sincerely appreciate the fact that you're willing to come on the air and talk about it. State Senator Scott Sotoval, the Democrat who represents Fairfax in the state legislature. I thank you again for coming on.
Yeah, no problem. Happy to come on anytime.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.